Hey friends, welcome to the Victor Marks Podcast with Victor Marks, founder of All Things Possible Ministries. Welcome to the show where we bring you real conversations faced with life's hard truths, stories of redemption, and the latest from the front lines. Whether you're on the road, getting your day started, or finally settling in, we've got an exciting new episode planned for you. So let's dive in to today's show.
Hey everybody, Victor Marks here. With the Victor Marks Show. Listen, it's in the forefront of everything, Afghanistan. What is happening? What went wrong? And today on the show, we're going to discuss that with my friend, colleague, and Chief Operations Officer for All Things Possible Ministry, retired Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Teagues, who obviously was in the Special Operations Community, retired out of Delta, highly decorated, humble, but definitely the epitome of a quiet professional. And that's kind of how we hope to run the ministry and have for years, is to get the work done and not squabble about who's doing what and where and when, but is the mission being accomplished for the better good of people and the glory of God. So Jeff, welcome to the program, brother.
Good to see you again, Vic. I wish we were on these shows together when disasters were not happening. It'd be nice just to talk about pleasant things for once.
Right. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Like, what are the best hiking trails? What are the best campsites?
Yeah. Best boxer shorts.
Yeah. So, folks, I'll give a little waiver. You know, I'm going on 3 hours of sleep. We were running ops last night. Well, it's been pretty much nonstop. Our biggest thing and an update is our desired goal and attempt to rescue and recover roughly 300 orphans in Afghanistan. And I'll just say by just way of, you know, context, so we can get on to other stuff. We had a plane coming in. It was waved off by the tower at the Kabul airport. And subsequently after that, around the same time frame, the kids that we, very courageous guys, had recovered on the teams on the ground, had got them safely, processed them 6 hours, and then a decision was made by the military, the U.S. military, to escort them off the base, which was heartbreaking. And yet the reality is our plane couldn't land, we couldn't get another one in, and it just... You know, it's aggravating, it's heartbreaking, especially when you work so hard and, you know, lives on the balance. But we don't know all the decisions that went into it from a commander's standpoint. And hey, Colonel Teagues, you've had to make hard decisions, and that one certainly didn't seem fair. It's got a lot of people ticked off. What can you say or speak into that? Is there responsibility on military's level to help, even when it doesn't look like they should?
You know, in this particular case, the priority effort is going to American citizens. So when you say something like 300 orphans, as a soldier, as a man in uniform, if my primary responsibility is Americans, three Americans is going to trump 300 Afghan orphans. That's just the way it is. The United States' primary responsibility is to protect our own citizens. So I can guarantee you, the men and women on that airfield making these tough calls are not happy about it. But it still boggles my mind, where we go back to what I just said. The American government's most simple responsibility is to protect our citizens, both home and abroad. And it looks more and more like we're going to leave somewhere between 1,500, 2,000, maybe even more American citizens trapped behind these Taliban lines. And that is absolutely unfathomable to me. You said, what went wrong? Well, there's a lot of things to look at what went wrong. But most importantly right now is, whatever went wrong, it can still be fixed.
I love that.
It isn't too late to conduct a non-combatant evacuation operation. It can still be fixed. We've been saying since this thing first kicked off, we have got to, one, expand the perimeter on Kabul. We'll come back to that. It's almost too late for that, but we'll come back to that about how and why there are at least 12 dead U.S. Marines and soldiers right now. And then the secondly is we need another airhead. You can't have everything coming in and out of one simple choke point. Oh, and by the way, the choke point that is partially controlled in the air tower and the air traffic control tower by the Taliban, and the perimeter is controlled by the Taliban. It's absolute insanity. It is not too late to send in troops, take another airfield. The easy one is Bagram Airfield up in Kandahar. There are others scattered across Afghanistan, and get the Americans out. Move the Afghan citizens that have the appropriate clearances and vetted, you know, special immigration visas, get them out through another means. It's not too late. Not too late.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're working in harsh realities because now there's death. And we've been fighting for and pleading with and trying to get our politicians to get off their lazy, passive nonsense behinds and do what's needed to be done, put pressure on administration. And I'm talking about both sides, Democrats and Republicans and independents. This shouldn't be a political issue. This should be a non-biased thing. But I think they're still making a political deal. We're talking about Americans overseas in a hostile country that if there were 10 as hostages in Iran, people would be going crazy. You'd think it'd be a big deal. But now we have thousands. And literally, the latest information I got, because the State Department couldn't put their finger on the total number, but there's now estimates upwards of 10,000 Americans scattered abroad in Afghanistan. We know because we're getting, you know, they're reaching out to us saying help. You know, missionaries, Christians, contractors. And we not only pulled out far too soon, the military right now in Kabul is packing up to leave. And everybody thought there'd be maybe a, you know, 1 minute before midnight push to come in. It doesn't look like, does it?
No, it doesn't. And that was what I've been holding out hope for this whole time, is that this administration would do the right thing. In quite simple terms, the safe thing. And we also knew as time went on and we continued to show weakness, and the Biden administration, I'm mincing no words here, shows total cowardism, that the Taliban would take advantage of the situation. So let's talk about what just happened this morning with the bombs that went off, okay? The Taliban is in full cooperation with ISIS-K, okay? I'm watching the news and they're saying, well, we don't have any evidence of it. The CENTCOM commander came on and said, we don't have any evidence of it. Okay, common sense would dictate what's happening here, okay? You've got a perimeter in multiple layers of a perimeter controlled by the Taliban with checkpoints all throughout it. The U.S. State Department hands a list of humans, both American citizens and vetted Afghan allies, and says, here, trusted Taliban, here's our list of people. Can you help us get them out? And they say, we sure will. We sure will help get them out. And then they allow ISIS-K to infiltrate through their perimeter and blow up bombs and create chaos on the airfield. So now the Taliban can say, oh, hey, we tried to get those people out, but what were we supposed to do? ISIS-K, those meanies, look what they've done. They've thrown a wrench in everything. So the U.S. leaves, and it leaves the Taliban to go and absolutely annihilate this list of people that we've handed them.
It's a hit list.
There is nothing else happening here. It's an absolute hit list, and it's going to continue.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't that complicated. The number one thing that has happened, and when you say what went wrong is our government, our State Department, they do not understand our enemy. There's a Sun Tzu quote that I reference 90% of the time when I'm giving courses on leadership and planning. Know yourself and know your enemy, and you need not fear the result of 1,000 battles. They do not know our enemy. They don't want to know our enemy. They are looking for enemies within, you know, like who's the enemy right now? The right-wing radicals who pulled off a college prank of storming the Capitol building? Now, I don't diminish that how disgusting that was and how much of a strategic and tactical error that was back in January. But we have shifted our focus to a boogeyman enemy that doesn't exist, an enemy that we can't negotiate with. And we pretend that the Taliban and the Haqqani network and these terror organizations that have been wreaking havoc across the globe for 20 years are suddenly near peer negotiators. I do understand this because I've seen this before. And America needs to wake up. There is an absolute chasm between the Department of Defense and the State Department and some of these other agencies. They can't stand those of us in uniform. But what it doesn't excuse, Vic, is those of us in uniform that are tasked with protecting our own men and women. Okay? I almost threw up in my mouth watching General McKenzie, the CENTCOM commander, talk about how they were doing everything that they could. Oh yeah? Really? Where were the metal detectors? Where was the standoff? Why was a suicide bomber able to kill 12 Americans?
Not that close.
The simple answer is you, sir, did not resource the men and women on the ground appropriately. Why is there not a 100, 200 meter channel where they're going through metal detectors and then they're being wanded by Afghan soldiers? By the time they get to an American soldier, we should have a body scan of that person. What we've seen photos of what's happened on the ground. There are Americans inches away from the Afghans. Who did not know this was going to happen? We all knew this was going to happen. You and I are living in la-la land thinking that somebody is actually going to do their job. And I'm sorry, Vic, I don't know what to say. I have friends in high places. Half of my friends that I worked for are now the commanders in places like Iraq and in 82nd Airborne and Fort Carson and, working in CENTCOM. What the heck is going on, guys? What is going on? And where are our American leaders standing up and saying, I don't put up with this anymore. I'm taking a stand. I'm not going to name names of my friends, but you know who you are if you're listening. Where are you? Where are you coming on TV with your 2, 3, and 4 stars and saying, enough is enough? And don't give me this, this is the Jeff we knew. This was Captain Jeff. This was Major Jeff. This was Lieutenant Colonel Jeff. This is why Jeff isn't in the military anymore. Damn right this is why Jeff isn't in the military anymore. Because we're watching this nonsense go on, and there isn't a single one of you that's stepping up and saying, enough is enough, and I resign in protest. Until I see some of my brothers stand up and say, as a military officer, I resign in protest. I got nothing for you guys.
I think your angst and your anger is righteous. And my question is, are the American people, do they have the backbone to stand up and protest and say, no, our fellow citizens by the thousands are over there. Why isn't Congress convening? Why isn't the news media covering it in the sense of, all stop and focus on that huge crisis we're having instead of minimizing it? And do you think there's going to come a time where the American people will say enough is enough? And, you know, we've listened to the narrative of the Biden camp saying, hey, Americans, come on to the airport. Everything's good. Taliban's going to let you through. And then all of a sudden today, with everything going on, they're saying, whatever you do, don't come to the airport. They've never been able to come freely to the airport. What's gotten out has been staggering few. And what even happened last night? This is first person eyewitness on our team that saw Americans get kicked off of Kabul base trying to get in because they didn't go through the proper channels. Because we went to the Batcave entrance and said, we got 300 orphans right here that unless they're saved, the Taliban's going to get them. These girls have no chance, and even the boys will be recruited and radicalized. So my question is, America, where are you? You got to put faith in action. Yeah. You've got to put pressure on political leaders, whoever they are, and say, I'm looking on your social media. I don't see anything. And we tried to start a firestorm with hashtag NEO now, hashtag NEO now, which stands for non-combative evacuation operations. And it can still happen. I mean, we have the power, the might, the wherewithal, the training for our military government to make our own airport. We can make a landing strip. We can put up a perimeter. We can start pumping in the Kabul, taking people, Kandahar, and destroying anybody that gets in our way. With superior firepower training, we could destroy them. So it's not too late, but what's happening?
And Vic, I don't understand these little qualifiers that the administration is talking about either. You notice how they keep saying every American that wants to get out, Are you serious? What is that? Are they really going to stand by the Americans that are left in Afghanistan are the ones that didn't want to get out? You can see the writing on the wall. You know, the other thing I want to stress, and we've said it before, ladies and gentlemen, we're only witnessing what's happening in Kabul. Afghanistan is the size of Texas. What's happening everywhere else? Do you not think that women are being beaten and whipped and raped and murdered? The Americans that, you know, that don't want to get out, do you think they're alive? Like when all is said and done, Victor, the atrocities that are happening on this watch right now, I hope they come to light. And let me talk about real quickly too, all these people that continue to say this was unavoidable, you know, this was Trump's thing, Biden's just sticking to it. It's all baloney. It's all garbage. Again, it goes back to know your enemy. Mm. The Taliban disappears into Pakistan in the winter months. They go up into the high country, they disappear into Pakistan, and they come down in the spring, and there's a spring offensive every year. We're at the end of the spring offensive into the summer. If this would have been delayed until November or December, when the snow had fallen, there's no way the Taliban could have amassed the firepower and moved as quickly as they could have. That's one simple way of looking at it. And then, of course, anybody who's paying attention, they can see the memes that are out there where you pull the military out before you do the NEO. Does that make any sense whatsoever? We absolutely collapsed all of Bagram Airport in Kandahar before evacuating any U.S. citizens. This was 100% avoidable. It's 100% on the head of the Biden administration. And I'm sorry, military officers whose job it is to win our wars and exit our wars with honor. I do not understand for the life of me what's going on and why none of them have banded together and made a stink. And then we go back to what you said, the power of the people. Where's the cool little flag that I can hang on my Facebook account or my Instagram? You know, where's the little show of support that I can create to show that I find that this is disgusting? I tell what we could resurrect. We can resurrect the old POW MIA flag, because that's what's happening. We're about to leave American citizens as prisoners of war, and there are many of which are going to turn out to become missing in action. We can start hanging that on our social media site. The silence, the apathy, is deafening.
It's staggering, folks. Let's paint a picture for you. I didn't want to say this, but I think I have to at this point, because this is a special broadcast. And those of you listening on CSN, you know, we're wrapping up our time on CSN Network because our podcast has become rated in the top 1% of all podcasts globally, which we're humbled and thankful for because of y'all. The downloads are incredible and people subscribing to our channel. So our time is definitely waning, but we give the facts. We give what's real. We're transparent. What's happening, I'll just say it. I got a report last night of a father shooting his daughters to death in Kabul. Why? Jeff, why would a dad shoot his daughters and kill them?
he'd rather see them die and move on to the afterlife than watch them undergo the rape and torture that is awaiting them.
Did y'all hear that? This is how desperate, wicked, and evil the situation is. And what if it was us? We know people on the ground. I'm communicating even while we're doing this with comms of families that are on the ground saying, please get us out. Please get us out. We've had to pause our operations until, sadly, the U.S. military leaves. Explain why we're having to do that outside of the fact that it's the X and it's a hot box and everything's out of control.
Well, there's still a level of control through the State Department exercised through the military. It isn't as lawless yet at Kabul to just land aircraft willy-nilly. You have to get permission. You know, once you get inside the perimeter of Kabul, there is a small amount of control by the U.S. military. And they are wholly inhibiting the rescue efforts of these NGOs that we are a part of.
We know that firsthand.
I'll grant them again. We have conflicting missions. You and I, we've been involved with getting some Americans out, but by and large, most of the people that we've been supporting and trying to get out are Afghan citizens. So there is a tension there. We're trying to get out Afghan citizens. The U.S. State Department and military are trying to get out U.S. citizens. And if they see us as getting in the way, then there will be that tension and that friction. But regardless of that, once they are gone, now the gloves are off, like you said, for NGOs to put together full-scale operations to evacuate the American citizens and the Afghan nationals that deserve it. And we're waiting to see how that's going to settle. I'm not going to share what that looks like. I know exactly what it looks like. I know exactly where we should be basing. We've already got people moving there. They're already building up combat power. We're waiting to see how that lands. In the meantime, what ATP is trying to do is meet these Afghan refugees where they are. So our team was just on the ground 2 days ago at Fort Bliss, Texas, providing clothing and essentials that these 2,000 people needed. I think it was somewhere, I don't remember how many were individuals and families, but it was predominantly children that we were purchasing these items for.
Yep.
So they're scattered all across the globe right now. So in this lull, when we're waiting for the U.S. to either move forward in a positive offensive direction and right the situation, or to completely tuck tail and leave, in that meantime, we want to reach out to these refugees and provide them the essentials and the things that they need right in the here and now. And then once the dust settles, you and I will reassess where we are best located with any of these ongoing recovery and rescue efforts.
Folks, we're going to close this broadcast by talking about access and placement. That's the two things you should be asking anybody you're supporting. Do they have access and placement? God has given us favor with relationships globally and the places and what we've done. But there's two things that are required. Prayer, and we say that so sincerely because the things we've been able to do have shocked people, even in the special operations community. Am I right? Where we've been able to do things that they wish they could do, but we have access and placement with no restraints. The other thing is funding. We are self-funded by great people like y'all. Thousands of you have responded. And you know what? We're building a war chest. That's the best I can say. And we're grateful as God puts it on your heart to support us. It's a team effort when we provide funding. And Colonel, we're going to be doing rescue operations for better part of a year. Probably Americans and others, not to mention Christians, and as God leads and guides us. But if y'all want to be part of this, please go to the website, go to victormarks.com/urgent or /Afghanistan and support us. Monthly support makes a huge difference as it allows us to gauge what we're going to do. And then I'll close with this. There are people that don't want to be rescued. And I'm talking about specifically a Christian church that I know of, we're in contact with in Afghanistan, that said, we're staying. Others will leave, but God has called us to stay, to be a light, and to present the gospel, even in the midst of the Taliban, even unto death. My friends, that's being a disciple. We've been called hero a lot over the years because of some of the stuff we've done. But I'll tell you what, I don't think there's a higher compliment for us as believers than to be called a disciple of Jesus Christ. And for that, we ask you to pray for this specific church and pray for the Christians that we will need to get out and those that will stay that we need to support. And put your faith in action by becoming a monthly supporter. Go to victormarks.com/urgent or /Afghanistan. We love you. We thank y'all. Make sure that you follow us and subscribe to our podcast. That's where you can get it all 24/7. And also, if you want a daily intelligence brief dropped privately into your inbox of your email, go to victormarks.com/brief and sign up today. See you on the Victor Marks Show podcast.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. We'd love to stay connected with you and invite you to the conversation beyond this podcast. You can check out more of the work we're doing around the world at victormarks.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all linked in the show notes. Be sure to drop us a comment in the review section if today's show has impacted you in any way, or if there's anything you'd like to hear more of. We're always encouraged to hear from you. Thanks for spending your time with us. Until next time.